sure that you're having the best opportunity to be in the chase. You know, if we're sitting 25 races in, we got an opportunity to make it. And yeah, you know, up to that point, absolutely every race, every lap was great.
You guys, I'm saying, we chargered a couple of you guys who went with that earlier. You know, last week, I believe you got the charger body on it. Who were you guys?
Yeah, we have to run the charger body now based off of Dodge's stipulations. When we did, we had the blessing from Dodge to try the Intrepid, and I think the Intrepid wasn't a bad race car. It was the fact that we were struggling at that point and didn't have an opportunity to show its potential. Based off of our wind tunnel numbers, the Intrepid was a better race car. That's why we took it to the racetrack. But it wasn't a political move on our half to try to say that, you know, this is totally wrong to be racing a Dodge Charger. For us, it was that fact that the Intrepid was still legal in that car, which it still is. And we had data to prove that it was a better race car. And secondly, we had raced it at Homestead the year before. It was our best intermediate track performance outside of running second or running fifth at Darlington earlier in the year. So it wasn't per se a science project like everybody's proclaimed it, but it was a situation where we were trying to make the best of what we had to work with legally from NASCAR's standpoint to take the best all-tail Dodge to the racetrack.
Do you have to use
it? That in the division of teammates last year, a lot of the drivers complained that the Dodge just didn't have to get up and go coming out of the hole. Now it seems like you guys are, you know, at the speed of the rest of the field. Did you notice that being an engineer? I know you had an answer.
Well, it's more of just the biggest difference between the Intrepid and the Charger is the aero difference in percent front and total downforce. The engine, everything is the same. The chassis, everything is the same. It's just the actual body itself. And the percent front changes the way you have to balance the car mechanically, springs and shocks and things like that. So the problem we were having was when we were in clean air, we had a really good car, but we had to tighten it up so much mechanically that once we were in dirty air, we had a tight setup in dirty air, and the car just never moved to turn left. It was so tight it wanted to turn right. And that was not good for traffic, and we're still struggling with that. I won't say struggling, but working with that to make it better, to make it perfect, which every team does. It's just that it seems like we had a bit of a deficiency there in the body itself to work with the aero balance, both in clean air and in dirty air.
Ryan, the dream team, Kurt Busch, Ryan Newman, at the beginning of the year, looked that way. He's 18, you're 19, am I correct?
Yeah.
Is that chemistry working with you guys at the moment?
The season has been a bit of a struggle for both of us, not relationship-wise, but performance-wise. You know, he's had his on-track problems, and we've had our on-track problems. But the communication is very good. The outlook is very good as far as, you know, the things that we've learned in the past and can apply to the future. The bottom line is we just have to create the results, and we're working on that both individually and as a team.
How about Kurt as a teammate?
It's been good. No issues. I mean, you know, obviously the history was not very good with me with teammates outside of the small relationship I had with Jeremy Mayfield, which was a fine one. For me, it was like starting all over, not knowing what to expect, but also knowing the bad taste of my mouth from before. I had to, you know, rinse clean with some pretty strong mouthwash to start all over. And that was and will be this year something that I'll have to, you know, transition through. As I said before at the beginning of the season, I really don't know what to expect of a teammate because the experiences I've had in the past weren't good.
Well, Kurt, I mean, he's in the news for stuff off the track as much as on the track throughout his career. I mean, you probably had some notions coming into this relationship, what it was going to be like. I mean, when you read the paper, going, man, Kurt doing this week. I mean, is that...
Yeah, but that doesn't affect my relationship with Kurt, first of all. Secondly, it doesn't affect the relationship of our teams making race cars go fast. He could have dreadlocks and no teeth and that.
Coming in next year,
how
do you
want
to
it doesn't matter if it was Toyota or Isuzu or
anybody for that matter. It's about the competition. The competition always seems to breed better performances and it's just a case of the competition breeds better things, better results. Just as far as the teams competing against each other, it makes everybody be better. To me, it doesn't really matter, but I think that's what's going to happen. They'll just tighten up the delta between best and worst. I don't see them as far as being a Japanese manufacturer being in any different situation compared to a Dodge or a Ford or Chevrolet. To me, it's just about competition and make those two win.
It's kind of another side of an aspect of the non-traditional competition.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a sign of them growing, and definitely, I don't know anymore how you can say traditional or non-traditional, because it seems like that idea or mentality changes every day. But nevertheless, I always say, whether it sounds right or not, it is the way it is. You gotta go with it.
Ryan, if you were in charge of NASCAR for one day, what would you change, if anything?
I think the biggest thing would be just to award points for qualifying, just because of the emphasis that we put on it. Not necessarily our team, but what NASCAR puts on giving it basically an entire day to qualifying efforts. And something simple like 5-4-3-2-1 for the first five. First place in a pool getting 5 points and on down. I think it would bring excitement for qualifying. I think it would make a great difference in the points as far as it's another day to talk about the points changing, which can lead to a different situation for the chase or the championship itself. And I think that would be good for NASCAR.
You ever see a day when Sam Hornish Jr. might be driving next to you as a teammate on a one-race deal or something like that?
I think there's potential for that. I know Sam has showed interest. I mean, Sam's a great race car driver. It's proven. I'd have said that before. It's fine with him. But I think he has some interest in racing some stock car stuff. Just maybe just to try it as much as maybe for a career. I think that's a good question for him. But I know he is. Just in talking to him as a friend, he's shared interest in that. So,
would you ever want to be a teammate with him in the Opel Luka? I know your background, and you ever still dream of moving on?
Yeah, it's my background in Opel Wheel. It doesn't translate over to IRL Opel Wheel. It's an entirely different type of Opel Wheel. But I've never had a true desire to race an Indy car. I tested one once. It was a lot of fun. I think there would be no better time than Sam and Helio. They're a lot of fun, first of all, second of all, great racers. And that would be a lot of fun. If I wanted to do that, that would be my best scenario, especially if I'm not serious already. But I'm still sticking to the fenders and the doors.
What is Roger doing when he's not racing the program at that level? He's a perfectionist. He's been successful in Indianapolis. His NASCAR situation hasn't gone terribly well compared to that. I mean, does he get involved on a personal basis with you and Kurt?
Very personal basis. I mean, Roger called me last night. It was 9:48, and my phone beeped, and it never rang. I don't have a good signal in my house, and I called him right back, and talked to him for a little while, and just had a conversation about the race and stuff. And he says, "Sorry if I called you too late. I'm Roger. You can call me whenever you want." My career we're talking about here. But he's obviously a very, very, very successful businessman, and any successful businessman is a good problem solver. And he's 9 times out of 10 pretty good about solving our situations as far as performance, whether it's with the Penske Dash for engine horsepower or different things in the shop. One of the things that some people don't think about or know is we went through a pretty traumatic offseason at the shop, folding up one team. Obviously, the situation changed with Rusty. And thirdly, an entirely new group of people came over to the two car. So it was a big, big change. The biggest change there probably has ever been in Penske Racing. And that was a lot of, I don't want to say turmoil, there was a lot of meetings in the offseason that didn't have to do with making the car go faster, and I think that is somewhat, we're playing a little bit of catch up because of that.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't know, maybe you can explain to them, drivers especially are glad that Dover's done with, everybody says to get out of the car, you're sore getting out of that car. Explain that to people, why if that happens.
It's a physically demanding racetrack. I mean, I've always said for driving to Bristol, it's like getting flushed in a toilet. You just keep going around, and eventually you might go out the bottom. And Dover is Bristol's big brother, and it's no nicer, it's faster, it's you got basically the same banking. They advertise 36 at Bristol, and it's not, it's 26. Dover's 24, so you're going faster, and it's 400 miles, not 500 miles. And it's just tough. I mean, it's tough because it's physically demanding, but it's also mentally demanding because the cars are pretty on edge. Could you add a new tire there that was a little bit harder, a little bit less susceptible to gripping at a racetrack, and that made the cars a little harder to drive. But it's just, it's a very demanding racetrack, and it's also a lot of fun. It's a racetrack that, like most others, but to a different level. When things are going right, we're going really right. When things are going wrong, we're going really wrong.
Ryan, how do you think of Michigan International Speedway? You know, you're from the Niles, South Bend area. Is this your home track?
I always call it my home track. It's geographically, it's just as close as Indianapolis and Chicago, basically. But I have to say that my first stock car experience, based off of my cloudy memory, is coming to Michigan Speedway, Michigan International Speedway, and watching. I remember we Brett might yell at me for saying this, but we were sitting in traffic for a while. We had raced the night before. We were coming over to get tickets for the race, and this is probably 1993, 1994. And we were on 12, and I remember my dad driving for about 2 miles on the wrong side of the road just so we could get to the racetrack on time. So we get the racetrack on time. We pulled our trailer and truck, or van and trailer, right behind the grandstands. And we got there just in time to get up in the stands and get our seats to watch the green flag fall. And that was, like I said, probably my first experience of going to the racetrack as a fan. And later we went to Daytona quite often. But I think my first truly stock car race was here in Michigan.
Yeah, now when you come into Michigan, how do you look at coming here to race? And as far as, you know, you talk about the toilet of Bristol and Dover, how does Michigan compare, and what do you look at it?
Michigan's a lot different in the fact that it's really wide. It's neat because the drafting is very important, as well as getting offline at corners to be able to pass. That's why I said earlier it was a lot of fun. But Roger built the track, or I guess had a lot of responsibility for building the track, and he tried to duplicate it in California, and California isn't even close. I mean, Michigan to me is a lot more fun than California, and they're supposed to be very similar, so there's a defined difference, to me, I like it. I like a lot of things about it. I like the area. I like, obviously I got a pretty good fan base being from around here, but, and racing around here, as I grew up, but it's just, to me, it's really, it just reminds me.
Hey, last year, Tony Stewart said you like coming up here because you got some good fishing holes. You care to share those with us?
Yeah, they're wet. we got some. Actually, one of Tony's crew members invited us over to a fella's house one time, and we ended up meeting him and fished at his pond and went over to another friend of his pond and just fished for a while. And now he invites us back every year, so we go fishing. He has some boats and control motors and batteries and stuff for us. And he cooks dinner, cooks steaks and cornbread and corn on the cob come all this time. And just nice people like that we have in other areas, but it seems to be exceptional here as far as fans.
Right, we got a chance to go to Charlotte and tour some of the race shops here recently, and I just got blown away by the support system you guys have, number of people, number of, these mega complexes now. I mean, that's got to throw you away.
Yeah, Roger might yell at me for saying this, but mega complexes build mega complexes. You put so many people in one area, it does become a little bit more difficult to manage them, but nevertheless, it's a great facility for the fans, fan walk area, to be able to see what happens in the shop on a day-to-day basis. the souvenir shop that we have. Just everything's designed around the fans, because the fan is fitting in an old Panasonic building, which you can never recognize anymore with an entirely coated, I think it's 260,000 square feet of tile floor. It's just amazing what's done inside the place to make it fit. We have $6 to sit inside. Nobody has to go outside for anything. Our entire pit stop practice facility is indoors. So if it's raining outside, we don't have to worry about it. We have the place to do it.
And, you know, to see these complexes, you know, I can't imagine new teams trying to start up and win something like this anymore. I mean, it seems like, man, the competition is just too great at the top for a new team to come in ever.
Yes and no. I mean, just like any other situation, money fixes a lot of things. You know, you look at, maybe this isn't the best example, but BAM Racing that Beth Ann worked with, they've turned in. She started her own team and has, I won't say been successful, but she's performed well, you know, makes her way to points and stuff like that. And there's plenty of potential to do it, but yeah, it does have a strong backing of, you know, huge supporters from the past that are, you know, have built, great places just a strong backbone for what we do. If you look at Penske Racing 2 years ago, we had three different shops, an engine shop, an assembly shop, and a fab shop. And we were getting tickets for driving cars up and down the street from the Mooresville police for taking cars from one building to the other. So things have changed a lot in the last couple of years.
Well, I remember 15 years ago calling Dave Marcus in his race shop, and he's answering the phone and, you know, like putting down his wrench to talk to you, you know. And boy, I tell you now, the support staff you guys have was just...
We have, I think there's 250 people that work at the shop itself. There's another 60 that work at the engine company, and then obviously there's other corporate people that are involved too, so...
And you came in an MIS interview room, I think, a few years back. I was at the NARCA race, and you were talking about, yeah, at home, and my mailbox got my diploma away from me from Purdue. I don't see a lot of drivers taking that, right, especially nowadays when they're so young to get through it. Was that something your dad or mom encouraged you to do to college first before you left your career?
My parents definitely encouraged me, and they actually gave me the boot. If it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't have made the initiative myself to do it. They pretty much kicked me out of the house and gave me the money to go to college, and for that I'm forever grateful. But I would always recommend it to whoever, whether you wanted to be a race car driver or design coffee tables, go get that entry. Go get a degree of some kind to get an education, because it'll definitely help you for your life, which is your career.
Feel uncomfortable here in the land of Spartans today with being a Purdue guy?
No, not at all. I can still take you No, to me that stuff doesn't matter. I never went to a single. I went to Purdue as a university, but I never went to a single basketball, football, any sporting event at all there. So I could tell you the name of the coaches and maybe the quarterback, and that was it.
Jimmy Johnson looks extremely top. 3 victories, 7 top 10 finishes, and I know he wants, obviously, a title this year. Can someone catch him? And in between is the Roush drivers. I mean, how do you go about, you know, making gains on that chase?
Just performance. We just have to perform and let everybody else do their own thing. But we have to stay focused on what we have to do. You're right, Jimmy's tough, and the Roush guys are tough. Jeff and Tony and Slade and Dale Jr. inconsistently. We got a lot of work to do, but it's just about performance for us. Performance will solve everybody else's situation for us. If we beat them, then it doesn't matter.
Your thoughts. I mean, what's a good finish for you in 2 weeks' time, or after Pocono? What at MIS? What are you looking for?
We'll go to each and every race with the anticipation and the will and the resources to win. So that's the way we approach it. Obviously, we have room in between there between when we finished 14th this past weekend and went into a groove. But the ultimate goal is to win, and I feel like I'm capable of winning.
You just look at
the tent, not even the guy, just the white one right now.
I know where I'm at because I actually looked this week, but in the last 2 weeks I'd say I'm probably going to look maybe once. That's more because I can't change that. I had to go out and do my job and that's the best of my ability. Drive that race car each and every lap, get to as many positions as possible. The points will take care of themselves. So,
I think it was at the first Michigan race, and he was very, and he said, well, you'll take a bump of tape. You know, he said, just want to get some races together, and show you can come back and do that.
And there's plenty of potential for that, but we haven't performed better. It's not like we're blowing a right from the fire with 2 laps to go leading the race by a half second, or 5 seconds for that matter. You know, we have a lot of work to do, and we're working on it, but... I said we have a lot of work to do. I mean, from a point standpoint, I think our team is more capable now than it was at the beginning of the season.
Radio guy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.